It's good to see everyone, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God. We've been studying in the Psalms, and we've been learning some great lessons from the psalmist. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me?" That's a quotation from one of the Psalms. The Psalms are the most quoted book in the New Testament. And through inspiration, the New Testament writers and speakers wanted us to be acquainted with the great truths that are found in the Psalms. And we've been studying those Psalms, and there are great attitudes that come from the psalmist. I think about his attitude of humility, his attitude of wanting to confess his sin, his attitude of wanting to stay away from evil and sin. There's great attitudes that are displayed in the Psalms, great concepts, great practices that we need to have in our life today. And one of them that I want to look at, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 27, is the attitude of not fearing in the presence of troubles and trials and tribulations that we might be surrounded by. Not fearing, having a fearless trust in God. In Hebrews 13, "I will not fear. What shall man do unto me?" We live in troubling times. We see a lot of news stories that are troubling. We see recent news stories that deal with decisions being made where immorality is being legislated in our nation. We see war and other kinds of problems and crime and different issues that we're having to go through. And they trouble us. We do not need to retreat. We do not need to be paralyzed in some way and just not do anything. We need to continue obeying God. And one great psalm, I believe, that helps us along these lines is Psalm 27. You think about how common fear is. I'm not talking about if you watch a scary movie and you get scared. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fear where you don't want to do, where I don't want to do what we know we need to do. We just don't do it. And that is very common. It may involve someone else. It may involve ourselves. But we just are scared to do what we know we need to do. That is very common. And it's a weapon of the devil. And you stop and think about what fear does. It paralyzes us. It's like the deer in the headlights. It's exactly like that. The deer runs out on the road, turns and just freezes. Indecision. You're paralyzed. And we just don't act. And so we might be in a situation where we need to say something, but we just don't say it. Where we need to obey the Lord, we just don't do it. We're scared of something. It's not the scary movie scared. It's the I don't want to step out and do what I need to do. And if it doesn't paralyze us, it just gets us to do nothing. What did the man, you know, in the parable of the 5 talents and the 2 talents, what did the 1 talent man do when he was told? He said, "I was afraid, fear, and I went and hid it in the earth." You just don't do anything. Or you don't make the decisions that you need to make. Or we're quiet in some way. But you know another problem? When we are scared to do what we need to do, it really breeds fear in others around us. Do you remember the law mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy that says when a man goes into battle and he fears, it says that he's to be sent home. And the text says, because he will make others around him to fear as well. He was to be sent home. It's contagious in the wrong way. And others begin to do the same thing. So I want us to consider the opposite of that this morning, where we're not going to fear. We're going to act. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. What can we learn from the psalmist? "I will not fear." And it's a great psalm. In Psalm 27, the psalmist was surrounded by various troubles and trials and tribulations. And we find he has a fearless trust in God. And what we're going to find this morning is probably in our own lives, there are times when we fear and we just don't act. And hopefully we can learn to be encouraged from the psalmist this morning to go ahead and act the way God wants us to act. Look at verse 1. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We want to learn this morning from the psalmist to have a fearless, not a fearful attitude, but a fearless trust in God. First of all, I want us to notice this morning the reasons why he may have had fear or why most people would fear. Consider who he was surrounded by and what he was surrounded by. And then consider in our own life some reasons why we might not speak up or act like we need to. First of all, we're told in this psalm, look at the very next verse, he was surrounded by adversaries. When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, mine adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. You come over to verse 6, my enemies. Verse 11 and 12, my enemies, my adversaries. And so this would be an occasion where a lesser man would fear. And yet he's not going to do that. And if there are adversaries and individuals in our lives that are opposed to truth and right, we're not going to be bothered by that. We're not going to allow that to just get us to stop acting the way we need to act. Look at the next thing, verse 3. Though a host, talking about an army, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. Here's another area where people get scared. War, battle. And I've never experienced that. Many of us here this morning have never experienced actual combat on the field where the bullets are flying past our head and the carnage and the blood and the smell of death. We're not versed in that. That could be a very fearful thing. And I'm told that in most of the wars we've experienced that many people get out there and they're so scared after a while they run off. And it could be a very frightening thing. I can't imagine that. And though we may not experience physical war, we're in a spiritual war with the devil. And we must put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. And we might get scared in our spiritual battle and we don't act the way we need to act. A third thing that he was surrounded by was just troubles. Just, we might say, everyday troubles. Troubles at work. Troubles at school. Troubles with other kinds of things in our life. Look at verse 5. In the day of trouble. That's just a generic statement. That could be a number of problems. And he's not going to have fear. And we have that. There are things that happen from day to day that are troubling, that are problematic, and we might freeze up in fear to do what is right. Maybe things with our family, things with our friends. Are we scared to say what we need to say? We just won't speak up and say it. We won't act the way we need to act in some trouble that is going on. And then we find, look at verse 10, one of the most difficult things that might happen to a person. This would be very difficult. When my father and my mother forsake me, then will Jehovah take me up. What if we were forsaken by close family and friends? We're scared. We're scared of how they're going to feel, how they're going to act. What are they going to say? If I live right and do right and act right and I'm supposed to do, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? And I'm fearful, and so I don't do what I need to do. What would my parents think if I did this? What would my grandparents think? Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whatever. We're forsaken by those who are close to us. Another person would be so fearful of that they wouldn't do what they need to do. And even in that very close problem, verse 10, his attitude is, well, if that happened, the Lord would support me. That is a great character, isn't it? And there's so much great character and value that we can learn from the psalmist. I was never forsaken by my parents. I don't even know what that would feel like. That would have to be devastating. To just learn one day that your parents have disowned you, they don't want anything to do with you because of the way you're living for God. That would be difficult. I've heard of cases where I went to school with some people that were converted, and I was told that their parents just said, if you obey the gospel and you're baptized into Christ and you do some things, don't even come home. I can't imagine that feeling, but it happens. And so some would say, well, if that's going to happen, then I'm so fearful of that. I'm so scared. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to speak the truth to someone. I'm not going to tell someone what they really need to hear. I'm just scared. It's very common. It happens all the time. Maybe it's in our life. And that's what we want to learn this morning. Not to allow that to control us. It's a tactic of the devil. It's from the devil. As we're going to see in a minute, it's not from God. It's from the devil. There's only one of two places that it can come from, either God or the devil. And we're going to learn in a minute from Paul that it's not from God. It's from the devil. And it gets us just to freeze. We just freeze. And we don't do what we need to do. These are very difficult things. Adversaries, war, troubles, even being forsaken by close people. But these are reasons why someone would fear, but he's not going to allow these reasons or excuses or whatever you want to call them. He's not going to allow that to keep him from obeying the Lord and doing what he needs to do. The second thing that I would like for us to notice in this psalm is what he does in replace of what someone would normally fear. Look at what this man is doing. Someone in this circumstance would normally fear. They would just freeze up and not do what the Lord wants them to do. But look at what the psalmist is doing, and look at these remedies, I call them. If we find that fear is in us, we're not going to talk with someone about the gospel. It's just a wide open door right there, but we're scared of something. Or to talk with a member of the church who needs to repent and come back, we're just too scared. A spouse, whatever. We're just scared of what. How could we remedy that? How could we solve that? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, notice how that he always relied upon God, because God's not going to let us down. God is not going to forsake us. God is not going to just stand there and say, well, good luck, you're on your own. That's a hard one. You're on your own. No, he's going to be there. Like a strength. Jehovah is the strength of my life. When the Lord is really the strength of my life. Listen, do you know that he's there every time we're in a situation? Every time. There's not one situation that we're in where he's not there. He's just think of him standing right there. I need to say something to someone. I'm just so scared. Think of God standing right there, helping. He's going to help you. And it'll remedy that. And you'll go ahead and say what you need to say or do what you need to do. Think of God being right there, because he is. So the first thing that the psalmist did was always rely upon God. So verse 1, he's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When God is not just a concept to us. He's not just some casual. He's actually a real being who is there to be relied upon, and he will help us. He's right there. So whom shall I fear? It could be the person that I'm wanting to invite to the church service or hand out a tract or talk with someone about the gospel. I'm just so scared I don't want to say anything. God's right there. He'll help you. Look at verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. He will lift me up. This is not just, the Psalms are not just kind of neat little thing. It's real. It's real. I think sometimes people think the Psalms are ancient ways of men expressing themselves in really neat kinds of language. No, it's real. The psalmist is saying what is actually going to happen. God will lift us up. And so we need to utilize that. When my father and my mother forsake me, then Jehovah will take me up. So step out, and just do what we're supposed to do. Say what we're supposed to say. Because we can rely upon God and He will help us. Number two, look at what He did. He kept worshiping God. Look at verse 4. And not only did He worship God, but He made that a priority in our life. If the worship service and being here regularly is the, look at verse 4, the one thing, priority, the one thing I've asked for. If worshiping God is the one thing in my life that is most important, then that's going to help me in these daily little things that come up. It's going to give me the courage and the strength through Bible lessons and through singing and praying and taking the Lord's Supper. It's going to give me that confidence and the courage that I need. And so the one thing I've asked for that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. This is the place where we get to come and see, as it were, the beauty of God as we see Him on the pages of Scripture and we sing about Him. It gives us that courage to make it through the week. He made worship a priority. You know, if this is David, it's interesting. You think about all of his battles, especially like with the Philistines and all of that. Read 1 Samuel. There's all kinds of battles here, and he's going here fighting, going there fighting. But he always wanted this as a priority, that I go down to the tabernacle and I worship. Verse 5, in the day of trouble he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. If this is David going to the tabernacle, that is a place that is like a covert hiding, a protection. And we can come into this building. We live in a land where we have the freedom to come in here unmolested and worship God. And it's like a place of coming for protection and help, so that when we step back out into the real world, then we can face those challenges. So worshiping God. Look at verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Jehovah. I come down there to sing and to pray and to see God's beauty. And it helps me to deal with these enemies that are round about me. Verse 6, he doesn't believe that they magically go away. They don't, because once he steps out of the tabernacle, he has to face them again, but it helps him to face them without fear. So number two, worshiping God. Number three, look at verses 7 through 9, prayer. Do we pray right before we need to do something? There have been times, I believe, that we're scared to do something. But had we prayed right before that, that would have given us the strength to do that. Pray. Look at verse 7. Surrounded by all these things, look at verse 7. Hear, O Jehovah, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. This is prayer. Seek ye my face. My heart said unto me, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. We seek God's face in prayer. And it helps us to face our fears. Worship helps us to face our fears. Relying upon God helps us to face our fears. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Prayer. So Paul says, pray without ceasing. Do you know one time where we definitely do not want to cease or stop? And that is right before we need to do something that is hard to do. Otherwise, fear will slip in there. Boom, and there we go. We just freeze up. Nope, not going to do it. And another day goes by where we just don't do what we need to do. The devil has gotten fear to defeat us. He's gotten fear to paralyze us. Like the deer in the headlights. Just freeze. And then we, the driver, have to figure out, you know, do I swerve? Do I hit it? Because it's just paralyzed. and boom, often it's dead. And that's what is going to happen to us spiritually when we have fear in our lives. Indecision, paralyzed, silent, and we may be encouraging others to do the same. Fear often breeds more fear in others. Number four, what did he do? He came to God's Word. Look at verse 11. He wanted to be taught. And the more we learn from God's Word, the more we apply God's Word, the more it's going to give us the courage to go out and do what we need to do. So verse 11, teach me thy way, O Jehovah. Here's a man surrounded by all these things that would cause other people to fear. I don't have fear, he says. I'm not like that. I'm not afraid. Well, what makes him different? Is he some superhuman that is so different than the rest of us? No, he's relying upon God, which we can all do. He's worshiping God, which we can all do. He's praying to God, and he's learning from God's Word, which we can all do. We can have these things in our life. So teach me thy way, O Jehovah. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. We can face those giants and those things that we're scared about. Well, I'm not scared. Yeah, we are. We are. We're scared to do what we're supposed to do. And it's a great lesson. And then finally, look at verse 13. One last thing that kept him from fearing in these troubling situations is he always saw the goodness of the Lord. He saw how that the Lord took care of people. Took care of himself and took care of other righteous. In another psalm, he'll say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. I had fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. I'd be gone if it weren't for knowing that God, through his providence, takes care of his own. And we've seen that in our own life. We've seen how God takes care of people. We've seen that. And it keeps us from fearing. Well, what's going to happen? I've lost my job. My house just burnt down. Oh, what's going to happen? Hey, I've seen the Lord and the goodness. I don't have to fear that. He'll take care of me. Whatever it is. And it remedies this fear. And the devil has to go find somebody else, because we're not going to have that in our lives. And then notice what I'm going to call the response. Most people in these situations, the enemies, the war, being forsaken by family and all these kinds of things, they would fear, they would not act right. But how does he respond? Notice he says, I will not fear, verse 1. And again in verse 3, I will not fear, I will not be afraid. Notice in verse 3, even then will I be confident. This is not some wishful thinking where it's just words and that's not really what he is. He is this very thing. No fear, confidence. Look at verse 14. I wait for the Lord. Wait in the Psalms means confident trust. It doesn't mean just sitting around in a chair. It means relying upon the providence of God that He will take care of this situation. And then be strong and take courage. So he said what he needed to say at the right time. He did what he needed to do at the right time. And we are the recipients of this message, and it's to help us as well. Now, having looked at what he's surrounded by, all these troubles, and having looked at how he responded to that, I want us to consider some things now in the New Testament for our application. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Do we fear when it's time to share God's Word with somebody? And don't be thinking about a preacher in a pulpit. I'm talking about When you need to say something to your spouse or to your children or to a neighbor or to a member of the church. Well, I'm just too scared of what he's going to say or how he's going to respond. Or she. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus sent out the apostles to preach the word, that he had to remind them of this very thing? Look at verse 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him God, who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows. It's in the context of telling other people about God's word. And sometimes we just freeze up. We don't want to say it because we're scared of their response or hearing no or losing a friend or something. And so he had to remind them that you're going to be going out and you're going to be knocking on doors and you're going to be going into people's homes. Don't fear them. Why did he tell them that? Because it's a natural thing. And I've been there. You just clam up. You don't say anything. So we have to learn from this not to do that. And one of the hardest ones, if you'll come down with me to verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I'm just scared of what mom and dad are going to say if I do this. We've got to get over that, because the devil's got you exactly where he wants you. I'm scared of what mom and dad are going to say or do if I do what I need to do. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I'm just scared what my son or daughter is going to say if I talk with them about such and such. I'm just scared. It's in the context of do not be scared about these things. The only person we need to be fearing, verse 28, is God. But we don't need to be fearing men and the things of this life. But we won't obey the gospel, or we won't talk with others about doing that or changing something in their life because we're scared of what friends and family and that type of thing are going to say or do or feel or think. And it just paralyzes. We don't ever act. And so let's not have that kind of fear in our life. Look at Acts chapter 18. When Paul was in Corinth, even Paul had to be reminded. The apostles had to be reminded. And if Matthew, you know, and Peter, Andrew, James, and John, if those men have to be reminded, I believe we do. And if Paul has to be reminded of this, I believe we do. Paul had to be reminded of this. When he went to Corinth, that was a very hard work. He'll say later, were troubles and trials, and within there were fears. Corinth was a hard work. And what does the Lord tell him, Acts 18, and the Lord said unto Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. That's our problem. We just clam up. No, not going to say it. No, say it. Why, Paul? Why, Lord? For I have much people in this city. I am with thee. That's exactly what the psalmist says. I am with thee, number one, and no man shall set on thee to harm, number two. And number three, I have much people in this city. In other words, there's people who need to be saved. And we've got to speak up and talk with them. And so he dwelt there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God. But he had to be reminded, don't be afraid. Is there someone we need to talk to? We need to do that and not be afraid to do that. Number two, do we have fear when identifying with Jesus? And this is going to become more and more as our culture and conduct gets more corrupt. Do you know that there were individuals? Turn to John 17:13. These are all found in the book of John. There were individuals who would not identify with Jesus by saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I obey Jesus. Because look at it, every one of them says the same thing. For fear of the Jews. So there were some who wouldn't say anything. John 7:13. For fear of the Jews. And the parents of the blind man whose son had just gotten healed by Jesus. What a great miracle and a blessing to have sight now. Sight for the first time. And she can't even identify with Jesus because of fear of the Jews.
I might be cast out of the synagogue. My son has just gotten sight by this man now. Well, I'm too scared to say anything because of the Jews. Nicodemus comes to get the body of Jesus by night for fear of the Jews. It can happen to the best of us. Look at the disciples in John chapter 20 and verse 19. Where are they on the first day of the week? They're behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. So even they need to learn to not be scared. Do we fear what someone's going to say or do or think about us when we, if we were to obey the gospel and be a faithful member of the church? Are we scared? Are we scared to stand up for truth and identify with Jesus and what the... I'm not talking about Church of Christ doctrine. I'm talking about just New Testament doctrine. What the Bible teaches, what it plainly teaches about marriage, are we, and about saving life. We're in a culture that cheapens life with abortion and other things. Are we going to stand up and identify with Jesus and truth and right and good? Or do we fear? We're scared of what someone might say or do or think. Our young people need to be mindful of this. When they're out and about, you identify with Jesus. You're a Christian. And you don't ever, ever act like you don't know Him. And I've been in that situation before as a young Christian where you just want to, you know, be a quiet Christian or come by night Christian where nobody will see me, you see. So it's easy to do, but we cannot have that kind of fear. So fear of what other people are going to say, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Just last week, I read a news story up in Warren County. Do you know how close Warren County is? That's Bowling Green. Okay, this is last week after the Supreme Court ruling on the homosexual thing. It is Kentucky law that if you are a pastor or whatever your title is for going into prisons now, some sort of a prison ministry, by Kentucky law, you are not allowed to say while you're in there that homosexuality is a sin. You're not allowed to say that by Kentucky law. And a pastor up in the Bowling Green area was relieved of 13 years of prison ministry because he refused to sign that Kentucky document that said, I will not call it a sin. He refused to sign it and was asked to leave. And the jail administrator said, if you don't like it, you can just take it up in the court system if you want to argue it there, but you're not going to come in here and call it a sin. It's Kentucky law. Okay. Well, are we going to be scared? Are we going to be scared and bullied by government and by man's law and things like that? How long will it be where you can't do that in a pulpit? How long will it be? Can't do it in a jail anymore. How long will it be where you can't do it on a street corner or just with a friend at work or anywhere? And I'm not talking about any kind of derogatory language. I read that carefully. Just using the word sin. You can't use the word sin. We're not talking about being ugly to someone who's a homosexual. We shouldn't do that. But we're just talking about telling what the Bible says about it. We can't do that in a jail in Kentucky. I don't know about Tennessee, but in Kentucky you can't now. Are we going to be fearful? We must obey God rather than men. And the leadership told Peter and John, you cannot preach in this town in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, no. We must obey God rather than men. We can and we will. And as soon as they were let out of jail, they went right back to preaching in the name of Jesus. And the text says that they beheld that these were ignorant and unlearned men, but they saw their courage and their fearless attitude. And we need to have that in our lives because it is slowly getting to where the liberal and loose and worldly policymakers of our nation are getting the upper hand
And they're making rulings that are trying to make us fearful and keep our mouths shut. Acts 4:13, they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Well, that may be the case. And we may not be the smart people of the world, but we know God's word and we're going to follow that. And they beheld the boldness of Peter and John. And we need that. And it goes along with this next point, fear when standing for truth. Is there someone we need to talk to about the truth? Galatians 2:12, Paul did not fear to do that with a close friend. But Chris, you don't understand, it's someone close to me. Well, Paul went to Peter, an apostle. I resisted him to the face because he stood condemned. And then verse 14, he walked. When I saw that they, he and Barnabas, walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas and before them all, he taught them the truth. But what is Peter's problem? Look at verse 12. He drew back, fearing them of the circumcision. Peter, the man who stands on Pentecost and preaches. Yes, even Peter was fearful. It can happen to anyone at any time, and it can paralyze you just like that. And we just don't do what we need to do. Here he is associating with Gentiles like he was supposed to do. And he was all, everything was fine. But when some people came who were Jewish, I fear them. I'm scared of what they're going to say or think or do. And he withdrew. I don't know these people. And he was wrong. And Paul stood up to that. Fearing them that were of the circumcision. Oh, it happens so easily at work, at school, other places. And it's crippling and it's paralyzing. And we should not ever get comfortable with it because it's from the devil. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 with regard to what's going on in government. Have you ever thought about the story of the birth of Moses? You ever thought about that? There are two things, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, there are two things in the story of Moses that deal with civil disobedience and not fearing, you know, big bad government. I'm for government, Romans 13, the way God designs it. But when government steps in, not Romans 13, government, but Revelation 13 government. That's wicked and sinful government in Revelation 13. There's God-approved government, Romans 13, and then there's the devil-approved government, that's Revelation 13. That's where the Roman government was supporting the idolatry and teaching emperor worship. That's bad government. So there's two kinds in the Word of God. And when government starts saying things that are wrong, are we going to fear that and just cave in and do that? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 with regard to Moses, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And you turn back to Exodus 1 and 2, kill all the male boys. No, sir, I'm not going to do that. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. When the king's commandment goes against the word of God, Daniel 3, Daniel 6, Exodus 1 and 2, we say, no, I will not fear that. Well, you're going to get thrown in jail. Well, whatever. I am not going to disobey God. I obey God rather than men. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then come on down with me to verse 27. After Moses grows up and he's called to lead Israel out of Egypt. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Look at this. He forsook Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. You know where he got that from? His parents. My parents were not fearful, and I'm not going to be fearful either. Think about us as parents here this morning and what we pass on or do not pass on to our children. They passed on Amram and Jochebed. out of all the good things they passed on to him, they passed on this sense of when the king tells you to do something that's wrong, you don't listen to that. And so here we have Pharaoh. We have Pharaoh say, no, you can't go. And Moses is saying, oh yeah, we're going. No, you can't go. I'm not going to let you go. Yes, we are going. And I'm not going to quit until we're all out of Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Well, I'm going to make you make bricks without straw. We're leaving. We're leaving. Well, I'm going to oppose you this way and I'm going to oppose you that way. We're leaving. Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
And so, am I calling for some, you know, anarchy type? No, no. What we're looking at here in the Word of God is that when man makes judgments and laws and decisions that are contrary to the Word of God, we obey God rather than men. I support government. But when government says and does things that are contrary to the Word of God, I have to make a choice, you have to make a choice, and we must not fear. To murder baby boys is wrong. In verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We're going to save our child. And so, as we close this morning, we're going to speak the Word of God without fear. Philippians 1:14. That could be at the restaurant. That could be a formal Bible study or anywhere in between. That could be at Walmart. That could be anywhere. We're going to speak the Word of God without fear. Number two, turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:7. Remember when I said earlier that this is not from God? This is not from God. And if it's in our life, it's not from God, and we need to get rid of it. We need to have a fearless, not fearful, a fearless trust in God. We need to have that Psalm 27 in our heart. It's a great and beautiful psalm to teach us to have fearless trust in God. It is not from God to have fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord. You see, we don't have fear. It doesn't come from God. Well, somebody says, well, actually, I do. Well, then it came from somebody else, not God. It's the devil. And we're not going to have it. Let's have the resolve this morning that we're no longer going to have that in our lives. And we're going to say and do and think what we know is right, and not be scared, and not be paralyzed by fear. And as our scripture reading, we have the Lord. The Lord is our helper. What shall man do unto me? That's a rhetorical question. He's not asking, I don't know, can you tell me? It's a rhetorical question. He knows. Man will not do anything unto me. And so I will not fear. And then last of all, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, we're not going to fear any negative consequence. You know, I think sometimes, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 3 and 6, we'll close with this. I think sometimes we're not so much concerned that there's going to be some great terror that's going to happen to us. We just don't want the fallout, whatever it is. We don't want the comment in return, or maybe they get quiet and they don't say anything, or whatever it is. We don't want any of that consequence. But these Christians are being persecuted. Look at verse 6. Whose children you now are, if you do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. And you know what? In the first century, terror included being put in prison. Hebrews 10, other Bible passages. We don't even get that. But we're scared of, well, they might say something. Think about these Christians. They were put in prison. We're not even going to get close to that. And we're scared, well, we're going to get rebuffed, or there's going to be a comment. Or we need to speak the truth in love and not be put in fear by any terror. And I would say that anything that we might have to face today is far less than what first century Christians had to face. A lot of times, mostly it's just no. That's about as strong as we're going to get, is a no. We don't get thrown in prison. Look at verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you, and fear not their fear.
neither be troubled. Now that's a little bit closer to what we experience. We fear their fear. We fear what they are going to say or do. We just don't want to go through all that, so we don't say anything.
Let us have the fearless trust and confidence in the Lord. Let us go out relying upon Him. Always being here for worship, that builds us up. Seeking God in prayer, learning from His Word daily, and knowing that the goodness of the Lord is always going to be in the land of the living. That means our life now. And He's going to take care of us. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Let's take that with us this morning and say and do and act the way God wants us. Maybe this morning you need to begin by removing that fear, by stepping forward and obeying what you need to do. Don't be paralyzed. We sing songs of encouragement and the hands just grip the back of the pew and they don't move. You know, the feet are planted. We're just paralyzed because we're scared. Or if we need to come back in some way, or whatever the case might be, get that out of our life and just experience the freedom of trusting and obeying God and not worrying about all those other kinds of things. What a freedom, really, the psalmist had, just simply to get up each day obeying the Lord and not being moved. He had courage. He had confidence. He was not afraid. And the freedom, the spiritual freedom that brings to our lives to be able to just get up each day and obey God and not be scared by those other kinds of things. If we can encourage you to have that kind of fearless trust, why won't you come as we stand and sing?